You're listening to Live at Dubai Duty Free Irish Open Radio, hosted by the Rory Foundation.
It was another wet and windy afternoon here at Royal County Down, but after a three-man playoff, Denmark's Søren Kjeldsen finally took the title.
Søren Kjeldsen of Denmark, over the putt, little twitch of his feet. Into the hole, round the hole twice it goes, but in it goes, and the champion is Søren Kjeldsen of Denmark. The relief is palpable, and for the first time in 6 years, Søren Kjeldsen is a champion again. He has won the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open.
We're here from the new Dubai Duty Free Irish Open champion, from Eddie Pepperell, who came so close to a maiden European Tour win, and from the tournament host, the world number one, Rory McIlroy. Hello and a warm welcome from me, Richard Kaufman, and the rest of the Live at Dubai Duty Free Irish Open radio team. Over the next 20 minutes or so, we'll look back at what's been a really wonderful week here at Royal County Down. I'll do so in the company of esteemed broadcaster Ron Jones and from former European Tour player Raymond Burns. Let me run you down the top 10, though, as it finished. I suppose the best thing to do really is to do that in reverse order, because of course we had that three-man playoff, only five players of course finishing under par. The players who finished tied for 10th: Anthony Wall, Richie Ramsey, Tongchai Jaidi, Richard Green, Nicholas Fast and Bradley Dredge. Max Kiefer of course was in the final group on the final round. He finished with a round of 77 to be at one over par. 20-year-old English rookie Matt Fitzpatrick, a round of 72 from the former British amateur champion. Danny Willett and Andy Sullivan both have had terrific 2015s, haven't they? Willett a two-times, Sullivan a two-times winner. Willett, of course, finishing third at the match play just a month or so ago. 68 from Willett today. That was the round of the day. Finished with an eagle. Thought at one point it might be good enough. Sullivan with a round of 71. The five players that finished under par: Tyrrell Hatton and Rafael Cabrera Bayo at minus one. Bernd Wiesberger and Eddie Pepperell, of course, in that playoff at minus two. But thanks to a birdie at the first extra hole, it's Søren Kjeldsen who is your champion. I suppose, Ron Jones, the first place we should start is the conditions, because scoring out there was far from easy, wasn't it?
For all 4 days, Richard. But today as well, on the final day, when really it all mattered, of course, when it all came down to the crunch, it really was so, so difficult. Wind buffeting everyone all over the place. In the afternoon, we had three or four really heavy, horrendous showers of rain. And therefore, when you get a winner like Kjeldsen in this instance, you have to say, on a wonderful golf course, a really tough golf course, which tested every aspect of a player's golf, plus the awful conditions, the really difficult conditions we had for 4 days, and especially today on the final day, for a champion to emerge as the winner, he is a true champion. Make no mistake about this, Søren Kjeldsen has won a championship which really tested everyone. And I think he deserved it as much as anything, because it went to a playoff, as we know. But the three wood, or whatever it was he hit into the green there, was worth going a long, long way to see, I can tell you. I think that, in the end, won him a championship when he'd almost thrown it away.
Yeah, it was a three wood, and it was a quite glorious golf shot from him under pressure when, of course, things had slipped away from him. We should remember, if we go back 24 hours, Raymond, he was 9 under par with, 20 holes left of this golf tournament. And in the end, he finishes 5-5 today to finish at 2 under par. That was testament to the conditions, I suppose, the players had to deal with, plus the mental pressure that he was having to deal with leading a golf tournament.
The mental pressure was so huge this week. As you said, they're a great champion. He had to deal with mental, physical, his golfing ability, weather, rain, wind, everything he had to deal with this week to produce three or two under par and winning a playoff. I mean, he had a putt yesterday, Richard, to go 10 under par, to go into double figures, and he finished with 2 under. We were sitting here this morning, and you asked me a question: do you think level par is a chance? You know, people were laughing at me when I said I think level par has a chance to win. But 2 under par, five players under par this week, It's quite an unbelievable testament to the... I know the conditions were bad, but it's an unbelievable testament to the golf course.
Well, the conditions can be bad, but, you know, we're on the coast here. The wind blows.
Absolutely. That's the way it is. That's why the golf course is built the way it's built.
The playoff...
Two winners this week, Richard. Yeah, the golf course and Kelson. Really, I can't remember. I'd heard so much about Royal County Down, and you have to be here, really, to see it. One thing I'd love to do now, of course, is play it. But it is a terrific test of golf. Tests every aspect of your game.
But, Ron, the playoff itself, you've mentioned that shot in. Not only was it a great golf shot in itself, what it did to his opponents as well, the fact that he hit in there first, that was a big blow as well in terms of the match play element of things.
Spot on, Richard. Absolutely right. That really set the tone, did it? The others then had to match it. If you remember, Wiesberger was actually offline on the right-hand side. He'd pulled himself a good line, but he really wasn't... He actually hit a very good shot in, of course, just 30 yards or so, 35 yards short of the green. But he wasn't able to match the shot that Kelson had put onto the green. And then Eddie Pepperell, who'd played so well and had to wait a long time, of course. This is a factor, isn't it, in the playoff. He'd been in for, what, an hour and three quarters or whatever it was. And then he hit his second shot right into a pretty difficult place on top of the bunker there. And then he didn't even reach the green. It went round the swale. So Kelson really was in A1 position. But you still have to take advantage of it. And he did that. Mind you, that final putt he'll remember for the rest of his life as it went round the top of the hole and finally popped in.
I mean, that was incredible, wasn't it, Raymond? That putt, because it did do a lap of honour before.
Me and Ron were watching from the other side. It was only when I came into the little studio here, I saw it from the other side. And it was a little knee bender. Like, every putt out there is a knee bender. But as you say there, Richard, definitely him playing the second shot in first, that put a nail in the coffin for the other two guys out there today. And I was very surprised. Myself and Ron were talking about it there earlier on, about Wiesberger taking a sand wedge or a mid wedge to play the shot in. You know, I thought he would have putted that up the green and maybe give himself a better chance. You know, it's very difficult to play these pitch shots off these such tight lies and know how they're going to react. Some players think they're going to hit it up and it'll stop, a little bit of check and run out. But around here, these things hit little knobs in the greens and takes a spin off the ball. So I was very surprised that he'd done that on 18. Now, as it is, I heard a couple of guys talking on the golf course, myself and Ron, as we're walking up. Did Kelson know he had a one-shot lead going up 18? It seemed to be he was hitting in quite a long club into the middle of the green. He seemed to be going for the flag. Whereas maybe if he had a new, he had a one-shot lead, he might have run it in through the front. Now, there was a lot of talk about that up the fairway, and then his caddy only looked at the scoreboard as he's walking up. Now, I don't know if that's true or not.
Well, we don't know because no one's asked him yet,
yeah?
Yeah, but what we do know is he did see it through.
So, absolutely.
So it doesn't really matter, I suppose, in the end, because he becomes the third Danish winner of the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open, of course, following the footsteps of Søren Hansen and Thomas Bjørn. A fourth European Tour title as well, his first in 6 years. Shall we hear? Yeah, let's hear from the new Dubai Duty Free Irish Open champion, Søren Kjeldsen.
It's very hard. I mean, 3 weeks ago I was 113 in the Order of Merit, and my game wasn't in good shape, and you turning 40, and then you wonder, was that it? And 3 weeks ago, and now I stand here. It's pretty remarkable, really.
How much pressure did you feel over those closing holes in such difficult conditions, and indeed in the playoff?
I think the last breath I took was about 14. I've never been as nervous as this. For some reason, the other tournaments that I've won, it hasn't been like this. I mean, because it was obviously a very difficult day, and I was decided not to look on leaderboards. But once I started dropping shots and that, I started looking, because it gave me a little bit of pleasure that I wasn't the only one struggling. So it was just a brutal day.
What do you consider to be the most important shot you hit on the back nine? The chip at 15, perhaps the chip at 18?
Well, yeah, the chip on 15 because I was leaking shots left, right and centre there, and that was a great up and down there. And then obviously the three wood in the playoff was pretty special.
You told us this morning that your new caddy, Alistair, who's been working for you for 3 weeks, had played a tremendous part in this victory. Play credit to him now.
Yeah, I mean, I just love the guy. You know, 3 weeks ago he said, you know, you should be doing better than what you are, and he believed in me, and we've had an incredible time the last 3 weeks, and this is as much his, you know, victory as it's mine.
This victory gets you into the Open Championship, the Bridgestone Invitational. You're back where you belong. How excited about those prospects?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's like I'm dreaming, but I don't want anybody to wake me up. It's pretty special.
Yeah, it isn't a dream. It is real. Started the week 303 in the world rankings. He'll leap up that. He's got his place at the Open Championship. As Tim Barty, who was interviewing him, said, he's got himself a place in one of the World Golf Championship events as well. And, of course, he has won the Irish Open. Then his peers are reacting as well. James Morrison, of course, won a few weeks ago, goes, yes, Soren, the nicest guy out there. So happy for you. Rikard Karlberg says, congrats, Mr. Kjeldsen. Great performance and a worthy winner. Andrew Coulthard says, congratulations, Soren Kjeldsen. Great win. Paul Laurie, similar thing. Champion, a great champion, he says. A wee guy to boot as well. And Thomas Peters says, I love Soren Kjeldsen. He makes sure everybody smiles. Marcus Fraser, congratulations, Soren Kjeldsen. What a great win. One of the best blokes you could meet. And Richie Ramsey, of course, had his chances today. He says, nice guys to come first. Congrats, Soren. So great reaction pretty immediately from his peers. That says a lot, doesn't it, Ray?
Yeah, without a doubt. Very popular guy. Just as you said earlier on, Ron, goes around the golf course, does business-like, working man, doesn't cause any hassle, plays quick, doesn't wait around. Spectators love him, seem to love him around here. And as you said earlier, great champion.
Yeah, I think the crowd almost, I just sensed the crowd in the playoff wanted him to win. Richard, I must say, he's been around a long time. Of course, he's 40 years of age now, so he's almost sort of the older generation of golfer. I'm not surprised at those messages for him. He's a lovely fellow. I've met him a few times. We used to meet him in Abu Dhabi when it was nice and relaxed at the start of the season. And I remember chatting to him on the practice area on one occasion. He's a big football fan. And he just wanted to talk about football. When I was introduced to him and was told that, you know, this guy does football all the time, that's all he wanted to talk about. Didn't want to talk about golf. But I really liked him. And that is endorsed, obviously, by so many of the players that he's played with over the years. So it sounds to me as if most people are pretty pleased that he's won this championship.
Yeah, you got to feel for the guys, of course, that missed out in that playoff. Of course, Bernd Wiesberger and Eddie Pepperell. Eddie Pepperell, of course, a very young player, only 24 years of age. It was a chance for him, Ron, to get that European Tour breakthrough. I mean, a fabulous round of golf first. I mean, to go bogey-free around this course today, that takes some doing, doesn't
Remarkable.
It?
Remarkable. But he'll have his time, won't he? This is the thing. Kjeldsen, if you like, time is running out in golf terms when you've hit 40, as he himself said. He had 40 and he thought maybe that was that. Well, it isn't that, and there'll be a lot more to come from him as well. But Eddie Pepperell's got lots of time. He's huge talent. I first saw him play in the Home Internationals when he was playing for England, and he's got a nice bubbly personality as well. He is another one of these who's nice and brisk on the golf course. You like to see that, I think. Spectators like to see that. They like to feel part of what they're doing, and Pepperell will have chances, and Wiesberger too.
Well, let's hear from the Englishman, shall we, on how he got round that course in that weather without a bogey.
My putter, I think, is the great equaliser, isn't it? I played well, no question, but I had to putt really, really well. So I'd have to credit the putting for no bogeys, that's for sure. And I think all 4 days have been tough, so whilst today was very difficult, I didn't feel all that different to what we had played in the first 3 days. So just hung in there, and you know, I knew it was a day like that. I didn't look at any scoreboards. I said to myself that anything in the 60s is a really good score at the start of the day, and as soon as I got to 1-2 under, I tried to tell myself the same thing. So good round of golf.
You were 7 behind at the start of the day. At what point did you think I could win this?
Not at any point, really. I saw the leaderboard at the back of 17 before my putt, and I figured that could be an important putt to make, and that's the only time that I realised how much I was in the golf tournament.
Talking to Tim Barter before the playoff, when the wind and rain was lashing down as it did at various points in the afternoon on this Sunday final round at Royal County Down. Of course, the other player in the playoff was Bernd Wiesberger. He has won twice on the European Tour, but he's had this kind of 2015 where he's had three, four, even five near misses. It's got to get frustrating for him, hasn't it, Raymond?
Absolutely. But, you know, I think some great players, that happens to. And I think they have to go through that until they come out shining. Now, I did notice him coming up, I think I said it to you, they looked very nervous coming up the 18th. Where Soren or Pepperell, they didn't look nervous just coming out playing golf. I just got that body language of him. But I think he's a tremendous golfer, very strong, great hitter. He had a very bad tee shot off the 18th, and his capabilities are much better than that, obviously. But I do think he'll be a player to be reckoned with in the European Tour over the next 5 or 6 months. I'll certainly be going to the bookies. I'm putting a few bob on him.
Well, what it does do for Bernd Wiesbicker is it very much cements his place in the top 50 of the world rankings. For a while today, it didn't look like he was going to get himself into contention at all. He got into all sorts of trouble early on in his round with 5 bogeys in 6 holes from the fifth.
It was very tough. I struggled a little bit with my irons into the wind coming back on the outward 9 and left a lot of shots out there, which I really shouldn't have done. Yeah, a couple of birdies after the turn helped to get back in the mix. And, you know, I would have loved to finish with a birdie there. I hit 2 great golf shots. And on 17 and 18, the wind just left it completely alone and just ended up a bit too far to the right twice. And, you know, I battled from the front nine in the first day onwards all week. So I'm really, really proud to have shot the score on the par this week.
Well, 2 men missed out on that playoff by just 1 shot. Tyrrell Hatton and Rafa Cabrera-Bello, the Spaniard, though, bogeying the last to miss out on the playoff. I mean, that really does have to hurt, doesn't it? And also, because of his higher world ranking, it was Tyrrell Hatton, despite the fact they finished level on scores at 1 under par, it was Hatton who took the final Open Championship qualification spot. But that didn't stop him, though, being disappointed with his putting today.
It was quite a frustrating day for me on the greens. I missed a few birdie putts on the front 9 and I lost my swing a little bit. It was getting quite difficult, the wind was picking up, so to hold the 4-foot bogey putt on 11, it seemed like it was a 20-foot putt. So I was really happy to hold that, and it just thought I'd actually smile for a change. It doesn't happen too often, but quite a good day in the end. I can't imagine there'd be too many under par scores today. If they have done, then they've done very well. But yeah, the wind was a lot stronger today compared to how it's been all week, really.
Yeah, he'll have a smile back on his face as well when he tees it up at St Andrews. Just to remind you, in case you didn't realise, the other 2 open qualification places went, of course, to Søren Kjeldsen and Eddie Pepperell. Bernd Wiesbicker had already qualified for that. 2 shots further back on level par were Danny Willett and Andy Sullivan. Been a great year, hasn't it, for both those players. The round of the day from Willett himself, though, a 3 under par 68 with an eagle at the last.
No, it was good. It was touch and go. We didn't hit a great tee shot. You know, obviously still in the fairway, but a long way back, and just hit a great 3-wood. Obviously, you know, you have to hit a low bullet draw to try and get it somewhere near chasing up. Like I said, just ran off pin eye right, and you fancied it, but no, it's always nice when they go in.
It was a little while there, wasn't there, when you thought level par, you never know, that might be good enough to either win the tournament or get in the playoff. Didn't prove to be the case for Danny Willett. Andy Sullivan, well, his 71 also put him into that share for 6th place.
I feel like I've done 12 rounds this week instead of 4. It's just so mentally tiring. I've never got back to the hotel and just wanted to sleep so much this week. And just no respite out there. There's not a hole out there you think, oh, I've got a little breather here, it's an easy hole. Every hole you can make a slip up on. So it's just had to be on your metal the whole way around, really. It's just so hard. I mean, like, you just have to hit perfect golf shots. That's just to get them to 20 feet. And it's so easy just to make mistakes out there. I'm just happy the way I finished the last 3 rounds, really.
Yeah, a great performance from Andy Sullivan. Start of the week just outside the top 60 in the world rankings. He's maybe pushing towards a place at the US Open the way he's gone here this week. Some season from him and Willett. Of course, Sullivan's won twice. Willett did so well in America a month or so ago. And they've just re-emphasised their form, haven't they, this week, Ron?
I think it's almost the changing face of European golf, Richard, in many respects. Of course, Kjeldsen, our champion, is of the older generation. But we've got a new generation, haven't we, pushing forward now more and more. Willett, Pepperell, Hatton, Sullivan, Fitzpatrick, Fleetwood. You know, they're all young guys in their early to mid-20s, and they're really playing outstanding golf. They're real go-getters. They want it very, very much indeed. They want to be champions, and they can all play. They really are. They're a fitter generation as well. You know, the new generation of golfers, have more and more got used to going to the gym and getting fit as well. So it's not just the golf qualities, it's their fitness qualities as well. And I think, A, it shows the huge depth that there is now in European golf, but also that there is a new generation ready to take over.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of players, of course, Raymond, that'll be kicking themselves thinking, oh, I can't, you know, two under par, got into the playoff. If only I'd have done this, that and the other. Richie Ramsey, a final round 77. That put paid to his chances of winning at finishing at two over par. And Chris Wood started off beautifully but came back in 40, double bogey the last for a round of 73. He finished at three over. They're among two players, but there's others as well.
Oh, man, there's people going home tonight and they just want to jump in the sea. You know, they're just so peeved off with what... Little mistake here, little putt here, little iron shot falling in here, but you're, it is what it is. And as Ron says earlier on, some of these young guys that are playing, so you know, all these young kids that are coming through now, maybe they just don't have the patience or the knowledge or the experience that Soren had at 40 years old. And that experience you were saying earlier on there about Wiesberg and not winning it, this is all a learning curve for all these young kids. Pepperell missing that little shot. Next time he has that shot, he's going to know not to do it.
Yeah, it's a learning experience. A tough lesson sometimes. Of course, another of those young guns who impressed so much last Sunday, didn't he? Benny Ann, winner at Wentworth, a European Tour breakthrough for him there last week. He finished on five over par, although he found it, like a few others, tough today with that round of 76. A good round of golf, an excellent round of golf from Rickard Karlberg, a 69. That propelled him right up the leaderboard. I think he started in a day tied 55th and finished in the end tied 21st. So that earned him a nice few euro, didn't it, along the way. Great round of golf, finishing at five over par overall. The home challenge, well, sadly, that didn't materialise this week. Of course, the host, Rory McIlroy, missed the cut by quite some way. Patrick Harrington, he promised much, didn't he, after the first two rounds, but fell right away, finishing on 10 over par. Darren Clark at six over par. Graham McDowell at seven over. Shane Lowry was 10 over. And local boy Simon Thornton at plus 14. And then, of course, earlier on today, Paul McGinley had to pull out during his last round with a back injury. It was a shame in some respect because, of course, the home support would love to have cheered on a home challenger, if not a home winner, Ron.
Well, when we were here at the start of the tournament, the day before in the Pro-Am, for example, all the talk was about Rory, wasn't it? You know, it was he was hosting the championship. He hadn't played well last week at Wentworth and had missed the cut, but everyone was prepared to excuse him because he'd been in America, complete change of conditions, and he looked tired at Wentworth. Now, whether the pressure got to him a little bit here because he had so much to do, I really don't know. But, you know, Rory, he's the number one golfer in the world. He's a great, great golfer. If there was any pressure on him, I think the pressure would have been that he wanted to do so well in front of his own people. He wanted to play his best golf, and it doesn't always happen, not even for the greatest golfer in the world. But they'll have a lot more to cheer for Rory McIlroy in the future, believe you me.
Yeah, I'm sure you're right there, Ron. A few other scores to give you. Ricky Fowler with a 73, finished at 7 over. Ernie Els, 72 today, 10 over par. Miguel Angel Jimenez finishing on that mark as well. Modinari was one shot worse off at 12 over. Lee Westwood and Søren Hansen, he was up front very early on Thursday, around a 68 on the first day, but in the end finished at 16 over par. And of course, I know we've touched on it, but we've got to talk, of course, about the venue, the setting here this week, Royal County Down, the Irish Open returning here after 76 years. In fact, it's only the second time in 60 years that Northern Ireland has hosted this event. And what a wonderful venue it's been. Raymond, of course, you probably know better than anyone.
I mean, for the last 34 years, 33 years I'm playing golf, people have been asking me all over the world. I've travelled all over the world. What's Royal County Down like? You know, so many people now... What Rory has done for the tournament, his foundation has done, the Irish Open has done, they've now brought this tournament around the world, this golf course, around the world into so many people's homes. You know, it's a tough course, it's a nightmare course at times, but it is what it is.
A beautiful beast.
A beautiful beast.
Yeah, it is indeed. I mean, and credit to everyone, Uncle's commentators, you know, all the officials and the volunteers, and of course, more than 80,000 spectators on the course over the 4 days. Incredible. As expected, a really well-supported event despite the weather. And I have to give a word to the hardest member of our team this week. Got to be Ron Jones. He's been out on the course every day, wind, rain, squalls, the very worst of the conditions. And yet,
I'll tell you what we just got. We just got an ice cream each. Someone had been listening to us on the radio and very nicely just ran up the bank here and has presented both of us with a choc ice each. We'd been talking about the ice cream sellers and they weren't really doing very great business. Well, they've just managed to get two. And thanks very much for giving us these lovely ice creams.
Did you enjoy them, Ron?
They were lovely. They really were. At first of all, it was a little bit of a joke, you know, because it was freezing cold, wind was blowing, and these young girls came up with the ice cream, and we thought, oh, no, no, they can't be serious. But we ended up, credit to the guy with the young son who just brought these two up to us. Have these, he said, and we loved them. Of course we did. We just sat there and enjoyed our choc ices.
As you should do as well, Eric. A lovely moment. But let's leave the closing thoughts, shall we, to the world number one, the tournament host this week, Rory McIlroy. As we've mentioned, sadly, he couldn't make the cut here this week. But it was much more than that, wasn't it, for Rory? Of course, hosting it thanks to his Rory Foundation. It was much more than just the golf.
I'm very proud to be associated with what has been an incredible event to bring this tournament to Northern Ireland and to, you know, to see the amount of people that came out to support it and not just to support the event, but, you know, we've done a lot of great things for the foundation as well, and just like to thank the sponsors Dubai Duty Free for getting on board, and obviously want to congratulate Zoran. He's a very worthy winner.
Yeah, and well done to Rory McIlroy for helping put together a terrific event. Just your final thoughts, guys. Ron, starting with you. It's been a very memorable week, hasn't it?
I'll certainly remember it for a long, long time, Richard. I'd heard a lot about Royal County Down. It more than lived up to my expectations. It's a wonderful, wonderful golf course. Great test of golf. Okay, the weather, really, you know, at times you wondered where you were. It was Armageddon out there. But, okay, that's all part of it. All credit to the golfers who saw it right the way through. Most of all, I think, I will remember the crowds because they came out in all these conditions. They stayed out there. The disappointment when the cut was made of not having their favourite golfer to watch, but they stayed out there. And right to the very end, to the playoff, they lined the fairways way, way down six deep. It was fantastic and so knowledgeable. I didn't see a single situation where a player had to get up off his shot just to look at the crowd and, you know, what's going on here. Didn't happen at all. They were very knowledgeable. A wonderful setting. Newcastle, I think, is a lovely, lovely place to come for a holiday. Those mountains behind, what a backdrop as you came down the final stretch to see the Mourne Mountains in the background. A memorable occasion and some great, great golf. And we've made a few friends, haven't we?
Yeah, no, it's been absolutely incredible. What about for you, Raymond?
Well, I suppose I came here when I was 9 years old to play golf. I stood up on the ninth hill in the ninth. I look at them mountains and I could just stand there for the rest of my life. It's just a beautiful place. Great golf course. The spectators were just unbelievable. What Rory's done for the tournament, bringing the tournament here, which probably would never have been brought here for a long time, it's just fantastic. European Tour Radio, yourself, Richard, all the staff here, pleasure to be with, pleasure to work with.
Yeah, pleasure.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, our pleasure is all ours. Thanks very much to you and to Ron, and a big congratulations, of course, to Soren Kjeldsen. That the story then of this Dubai Duty Free Irish Open at Royal County Down. What a memorable 4 days or so it's been. Kjeldsen coming through in that three-man playoff against Eddie Pepperell and Bernd Wiesberger, thanks to a birdie at the first extra hole. That winning putt doing a lap of honour, but thanks to Kjeldsen's relief, dropping into the bottom of the cup. And of course, thank you to all of you for your company this week, for your emails and tweets. Don't forget, you can hear us every Tuesday with the European Tour Race to Dubai show for all the latest golf news as well. Don't forget to look on the European Tour website, europeantour.com, and the European Tour app. And remember, this is how you can get in touch on Twitter, at European Tour, at Golf Chat Live, and use the hashtags, hashtag ET Live Blog and hashtag European Tour. Make sure you join us next time for more live and interrupted golf coverage. But until then, from Ron Jones, Raymond Burns, Johnny Morgan, Sue Thill and me, Richard Kaufman, and the rest of the Live at Dubai duty-free Irish Open Radio team, bye-bye for now.
You've been listening to Live at Dubai duty-free Irish Open Radio, hosted by the Rory Foundation.